Thought Leadership Studio.
You're listening to Thought Leadership Studio, the podcast that helps you master high-level positive mass influence to create distinctive business niches, captivate an audience, grow your following, and change the game by changing the frame with strategic thought leadership.
Thought Leadership Studio.
Welcome back to Thought Leadership Studio. I'm your host, Chris McNeil, and this is episode 76, Mastering B2B PR with Michelle Garrett, strategies for building credibility and thought leadership insights from a top PR pro and author. What this episode will do for you is help you explore Michelle's PR journey, her extensive experience in the PR industry, and her journey to becoming a top B2B PR consultant and author. Learn effective B2B PR strategies. Learn the key strategies Michelle uses to help B2B companies build credibility and position themselves as thought leaders. Understand the importance of thought leadership in PR by learning how thought leadership content can enhance your PR efforts and distinguish your company from competitors. Learn to utilize original research by gaining insights into how conducting and promoting original research can capture media attention and strengthen your PR strategy, as well as understanding the importance of collaborative PR efforts where client engagement and collaboration is essential in achieving successful PR outcomes. But before we dive more deeply into this episode, in case you're new here, consider that I created the Thought Leadership Studio podcast to help listeners improve their thought leadership skills. So whether or not you consider yourself a thought leader at this point, consider that I've come to the conclusion that the practice of strategic thought leadership is now fundamental to effective marketing and helpful in any area of positive influence. It's about leading an audience to embrace a unique perspective that gives them more value. So this podcast is designed to provide an accelerated training process. And an important part of this is having models of excellence, for which I provide interviews of people who excel in one or more areas relevant to strategic thought leadership. And if you're listening on an app, make sure you visit the episode page on thoughtleadershipstudio.com. It's linked in the episode description for a summary of the episode with a curated transcript, a story and images, and additional resources and offers. In this episode of Thought Leadership Studio, I'm excited to introduce Michelle Garrett. Michelle is a seasoned public relations consultant, writer, and speaker with a wealth of experience helping B2B companies craft compelling content, secure media coverage, and establish themselves as thought leaders. With a practical and down-to-earth approach, Michelle is consistently ranked among the top 10 most influential PR professionals. Her latest book, B2B PR That Gets Results, debuted as an Amazon bestseller. Michelle's career spans various roles in PR and marketing communications, including significant stints in Silicon Valley with tech giants like HP and Adobe, as well as numerous startups. She's written extensively for major publications like Entrepreneur and Reagan's PR Daily, and frequently speaks at high-profile events such as Content Marketing World. In our conversation, Michelle delves into the critical role of PR within the marketing ecosystem. She explains how PR builds reputation and credibility, emphasizing that it differs significantly from advertising. Michelle highlights the importance of patience and the need to cultivate relationships with journalists to secure media coverage. She also discusses the power of thought leadership content and earned media in enhancing a company's credibility. So join us as we explore Michelle's journey in PR and gain valuable insights into how B2B companies can effectively use PR to build their brand and enhance their market presence. Without further ado, let's jump right into the interview.
Thought Leadership Studio.
So I'm your host of Thought Leadership Studio, Chris McNeil, and I'm sitting here across Zoom with author and PR pro Michelle Garrett. She's a public relations consultant, writer, and speaker who helps B2B companies create content, earn media coverage, and position themselves as thought leaders in their industries. She provides down-to-earth advice and a practical approach to PR for her clients, repeatedly ranked among the top 10 most influential PR professionals. Michelle's new book, B2B PR That Gets Results, debuted as an Amazon bestseller. Her articles and advice have been featured in publications, including Entrepreneur and Reagan's PR Daily, and she frequently speaks at events like Content Marketing World. Welcome, Michelle.
Thank you so much for having me, Chris.
So one place we like to start, just to give our listener a little more context about where the guest is coming from. Mm-hmm. What set you on this path to being a PR pro? Was there a pivotal moment or a shift or a sudden light of awareness that set you on this path that showed it was the right way for you and that you can make a difference like you are?
Well, I mean, writing, I think writing was the thing, the common thread throughout, you know, everything from the time I was very young. I just loved to write. And I think I was trying to figure out a way to work that into my career because I didn't necessarily want to be an author writing novels or something like that. Not necessarily that kind of writing, but business writing. And what kind of careers could I pursue beyond being like a reporter or something like that, which again, those are all great options, right? But I kind of wanted a career that would incorporate writing, but allow me to do some other things as well. And I kind of just landed in PR after some experimenting.
So how would you, that's awesome, by the way, and I love writing too, and I don't see myself as a author of long novels or anything, but I'm working on my first book, so I commend you on yours. We'll talk more about it in a minute. But in general, how do you see where PR fits into the ecosystem of marketing in general, or public awareness in general, or companies promoting themselves in general?
Yeah, there's a lot of confusion about what PR is. I think there's some mystery around it. Like, people don't necessarily understand what it is. And mm-hmm. when you try to explain what you do to people, when you say you're in PR, I don't think they always understand. So I like to think of it as definitely part of your marketing program. And it can be, it's really an essential part these days because your reputation is so important. And just one wrong, you know, step can take down your reputation if you don't have it kind of built up and you have an audience and you have content and you have credibility and you have all those things. And PR can help you with all of those things and also can help you avoid a crisis and help you work through a crisis if you happen to find yourself in one. So I think it's an essential part of marketing, but I do think it's often overlooked and sometimes confused with advertising, which it is not.
Then what's the difference between PR and advertising?
Well, advertising would be paid, so you control the message, right? So you know, like if you're buying an ad or you're sponsoring a piece, and I'm not saying it's, I love my clients to do both actually, because it's really more powerful when you have earned media, which is PR, and paid media, which is advertising. But to confuse the two and think that you're going to control, like if you pitch a story to a reporter, you don't have control over what appears, what day, what page, if you know, if you're in a printed publication or on a website or what you do, you don't know where it's going to show up, right? And you don't know what it's going to say. Whereas with, you know, if you paid for it, you definitely would have more insight, more control over that.
Is that a common misunderstanding with clients where they want to apply that control to the earned media side, the PR side, and have issues giving you the engagement, or
getting aligned behind a message and having maybe the patience for things to actually hit or not sometimes?
Yeah, there are a lot of issues. That's a really good question, because patience is definitely one, because PR does take a while. When you, that's what I always tell. If I talk to a prospective client and they say, well, we need this to show up in 2 weeks or whatever. I mean, we don't know in PR that we're going to be able to create that kind of turnaround, especially if the media doesn't know who they are. So in that case, I'd say do the paid media route, go that route, pay for your ad or your sponsored contribution or whatever it is. So that's definitely an issue of patience. And then I think sometimes too, clients don't understand that maybe they've only done paid media or ads, and they think, oh, with PR, we sent them the press release that we wrote, so it's going to show up just verbatim, you know, based on what we said at the press release. And that's not true either, because the reporter will perhaps look at the release, then they'll go out and do their own research. They'll look at your website, they'll Google your company, they'll see like what you're doing on social media, what other articles may have appeared, what people are saying. They might ask you for a customer reference or something like that. So it's not, the clients can, I mean, if they don't understand how it works, it can be kind of like scary, because they don't know what's going to show up. And I don't think that they always trust in the process. I think most journalists are not out to get anyone, you know, I mean, unless it's 60 minutes or, I mean, it's not, you know, they're not all like trying to zing you, you know, like they just want the truth, and they want to know, like when they ask you a question, they just want an honest answer. So and, you know, I think there are definitely ways to get ready for an interview so you don't say anything that you would regret. And, but honestly, I don't think, I wish that companies wouldn't overthink that part of it. So
that makes sense. And do you find issues sometimes with clients who are used to the paid media side, having the empathy, seeing it from the eyes of the journalist and also the journalist audience? So maybe they don't get to that place where let's come up with something that their audience would really appreciate, as opposed to we'll just pay what it takes to get our message through.
Well, the thing is, and I think this is important to emphasize, is that when you pay for it, people know that it's an ad, and they know that the company is saying this about itself, right? Versus a reporter saying something about the company, which, I mean, it could be more credible. That's the idea behind PR, is that, you know, if a reporter chooses to write about your company, hopefully that would add to your credibility, and it would be a lot, you know, you would never probably send out, like if you paid for an ad or paid for a sponsored piece or something, you wouldn't send that out to your prospective customers and say, hey, look at this, we paid for this ad. But if you got an article, right? I mean,
right.
If you got an article about your company in a trade journal, for example, you might send that out. I mean, I would say that you should put it in your newsletter. You should put it on your website. You know, you should put it on social media. You should promote it once it's out there. So to me, there's a big difference in that part of it. And I think, you know, especially with like younger buyers, I think the ads don't, you know, they don't put any stock in that. I mean, they might see it, so it would create awareness that way, but they'd be like, okay, well, I'm going to do some research to find out if this company is really all that they say they are.
Well, that's right. We put on our BS filter sunglasses as soon as we know somebody paid for that placement. You can see the things like too in Google search results, the organic ones, even if you place a bunch of ads above them, people are way more likely to click on the earned placement with an organic link rather than the paid ad.
Yeah.
Because it just puts that filter. I personally experienced this. I'll share a little story with you and you can critique my approach because I probably screwed some things up. But in my prior life, I owned a chain of one-on-one fitness training studios. That's right. First applied to coaching things I do in business now. And we made the business, I think, in large degree on PR. I sent a press release. You know, I was a big fan of, you know, of Jay Abraham. I was a big fan of marketing consultant Jay Abraham at the time. And he recommended some things like doing tests for, and so I sent a press release to all the media in town, a little different for each one. It wasn't that many at that time. This was just, this was in the early noughts, so it was the internet wasn't really taking off yet. And I said, I will do a 6-week free program to one journalist in print media, one journalist in radio, one journalist on TV, to give you the opportunity to try out a really innovative fitness and lifestyle management program for the purpose of writing a story about it. And we got a huge response and ended up on the first page or on the cover of a local alternative newspaper magazine, an article singing our praises, and we hit our third year projections in like the third month open.
Wow.
And that they liked it so much, they wanted to do a barter and bring their whole staff in to train with us in exchange for advertising. So then we were getting like full page ads regularly, and you could add up all of those full page ads over years, and they wouldn't come close to equaling what the PR hit got being on the cover of that.
Yep.
So that was my early exposure to the power of PR. I was won over.
Yeah. It's great, isn't it? I mean, that I love that story because it does speak to the powerful, you know, way that PR can play into your marketing and helping your business grow and get in front of people, right? I mean, because if nobody knows about your business, what's going to happen? I mean, nothing's going to happen, right? Nobody's going to buy anything and you're not going to grow and you're not going to, you know, so I feel like it can be really powerful.
And is it part the leverage of implied third-party endorsement?
Yes, right, yes.
So
sure.
How does it work these days? Because that was back before there was much of an internet, although we got some mileage through the internet later. But the days are different now when we have bloggers and podcasts like this one and all these other avenues. How is PR different from the way it was in the ancient ye olde days of PR fax machines?
Well, I started out, you know, like I remember those days, right? I mean, I started, you know, not to date myself, but I remember when we would take the giant media directories, they were giant books. You had to go to the library if you didn't work at an agency that owned a set and look up, physically look up reporters. And of course, you know how out of date that was. So like by the time you got it, it probably wasn't even, you know, the real thing. So there was a lot more to it, I think, that way. But I really, in a way, I miss those days because people actually had to do their homework, their research. And now we're kind of in a time when, you know, I'm not going to point fingers, but a lot of times, you will hire someone, an agency, for example, and they'll pay for a subscription to a media database and they'll just literally spam out the same press release or pitch to thousands, hundreds or thousands of reporters. Right. And this really turns off the reporters because obviously they didn't do any research. They didn't personalize the pitch. They are just, it's like shot in the dark. It's just like, you know, shooting it out into, you know, and keep crossing your fingers. Like, I hope, you know, we call it spray and pray is what we call it.
Right.
And so it doesn't work. And so, but people continue to do it and journalists are fed up. Honestly, they're just tired because they're getting, I think, you know, there's statistics, I mean, floating around. The one that I hear most often is 6 PR people for every reporter. The way media outlets are shuttering these days and laying off journalists, you know, it might be higher. So, and then they're getting pitched with by like link builders, like SEO link builder folks,
right.
Which that's not the same as PR either. I'm not saying you don't need SEO. I'm not saying, you know, you shouldn't do that too. But sure. It's not the same because when you pitch a story for a company, you're not only after a link. Yes, you would like a link, but it's really more about like, what does the story say and how does it talk about the client or the company or whatever. So
when you're initially meeting with the client and say if someone who might be like some of the people who are listening, who's looking to practice some thought leadership and make an impact in an industry or profession, by maybe bringing a new perspective in, fresh and coming just from them, that's empowering to the customer or the end user. And they don't know a lot about PR. How does that initial conversation go where you educate them? And what points do you touch on? Because I think that'd be really helpful for our listeners to hear.
Yeah, I mean, I want to make sure that the client understands what is and is not possible with PR or earned media. And so I always ask, and this is a good point too. I always ask what they are bringing to the table specifically. Do they have thought leaders? Because anyone could say they are a thought leader, but are they? Manufacturing companies that I like to work with often are sometimes 50 years old, 75 years old. A lot of the leadership actually does have experience, deep experience in the industry, and they could be considered an influencer, thought leader, type of individual, right? So that, I mean, and I'm not saying you have to have somebody who's been at the helm for 20 years or whatever. I'm just saying you really have to consider what you are bringing to the table. If you actually have people that have what could be considered industry-wide as thought leadership type of ideas, and I hate to say thought leadership thoughts, but you know what I mean, like
I know what you
thought
mean.
leadership content, because I think, again, like anyone can say this, but then sometimes you start digging in a little bit and you're like, yeah, okay, well, what are you doing that's different, from your competitors, from everybody else in the industry? What are you doing? What do you see coming up? What's down the line? How do you view what's the economic outlook, in your industry? What are you seeing? Those kinds of things. And then I also ask what customers they can bring to the table for us to work with, because I think customers lend a lot of credibility to your public relations story, and they also can speak on your behalf, and they can talk about you so that you don't have to blow your own horn. Although I don't think there's anything wrong if you do have, things to say that are positive about your company, you should certainly be saying them. But I think you need, additional pieces and parts in there. And then research, like if you've done any original research on your industry, that's reporters love that too. So that's another thing. And something I'm harping on a lot right now is visuals, because a lot of companies, and this stuff isn't always, some of it's expensive, but it's worth investing if you can in high resolution photos of your product in action, for example, up-to-date current headshots of your leadership team, of course, logos. If you have video, that can be great. So that can make a difference, I think, when you're pitching stories. So I usually try to ask these questions as I'm talking with prospective clients. And it's not that they have to have everything on day one, but I like to know that they're going to be engaged and they're not just hiring me and then they're just going to say, okay, go do your thing. And like, I'm never going to talk to them again. I think it needs to be a collaborative effort with them engaged.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's something that seems to come up in my own consulting work too, is I actually just created a four quadrant model to make it simple of high engagement and low engagement is like the y-axis, and support versus no support is the x-axis. Because I've seen with people who try to do the wrong thought leadership content is the oscillate, because they'll do a whole lot of work and maybe start to build an audience. But if they don't have support behind it, then when you get busy, that goes away or gets lessened, because, oh, my clientele's, but then of course now they're not filling the top of the funnel, so to speak. So they'll go through this oscillation pattern or to get burned out. So in my realm, we need high engagement as well as providing a lot of support, so it can be consistent as well as well thought out and doesn't dig so deep into their own time. Now, imagine you might have worked with some people who try to do their own PR, then realize they need some help and support. What kind of gaps do you notice when you are interviewing or learning about a prospective client that has tried to do PR themselves, and what you bring to the table to amplify what they do they couldn't do on their own?
That's a good question. I think I see companies who do it in fits and starts. They do PR. They'll say, well, we wrote a press release, we put it on the wire, we didn't get any coverage, and so PR doesn't work.
Right.
Or, right? Or they, so they did one, they basically did one thing and then decided that it just didn't, you know, wasn't for them. The other thing I see is that they just don't have the time and consistency that it requires, because I don't think it's necessarily rocket science or anything like that. However, I do think you need, you know, kind of a plan, and you need somebody to keep track of, you know, the key media. That doesn't mean hundreds of media. That means maybe 20 media outlets or something like that, 20 trade journals and a couple of business publications, or, you know, so I would help you build that list. And then I would also, you know, keep track of it and say, okay, well, we pitched, you know, Joe at the Business Journal this story, and he said no, but he said he might be interested in a story about this. So then, you know, when we have that in 3 months, we'd come back to Joe and say, well, here's this story. What do you think about this? And he might be all for it, you know. So I think there's just something about consistency, relationships, having a plan, following up. I mean, most reporters are busy, and clients are busy. And so when you try to put that together, it just ends up being like, well, we kind of like, yeah, we're trying this, but we're not really like hanging in there with it, you know. So, and I'm pretty tenacious about it, you know, like I when I work with a client, you know, and there's nothing more exciting as a PR consultant for me than to get my client in the news. I mean, that's still, I get a high from that, you know. So I want to get them what they want. If they want media coverage, I'm all about that, and I will do everything in my power, you know, to work with what they are bringing to the table, and we work together and make it happen. So,
That makes a lot of sense, and I'm sure a lot of people listening thinking I could use that kind of support in this. And not that I'm here just to pitch you. Obviously, you're doing a good job of pitching yourself. That's what you do, is pitch. But also, I want people who may not quite be at the level of hiring someone get some ideas on how they can do it better too, of course.
sure.
And you mentioned something about the conversation with the Business Journal editor that to me leans on the value of the relationship with media
Right.
people. How much does that play into your work, and how does that work out with your client relationship as well?
I mean, I think it can help. I don't like it when I talk with a prospective client and they ask me, like, who do you know at
Right.
X public? Because here's why. So reporters are being laid off, they're choosing to leave. There's constant turnover. I mean, not with all of them, but with many of them. And there's things are just an upheaval, right? With a lot of media outlets right now. And so I think if you're basing who you hire on who they know, I'm not sure that that's necessarily the best way to choose a PR provider. I would be asking more about, like, well, what is, you know, what is your plan? Like, when we don't have news, because most companies, let's be honest, don't have a new product every month or announcement to make all the time. So you gotta, you want to work with somebody who has ideas to bring to the table about other things you can be doing. Because thought leadership content, pitched as contributed articles, and if you can publish it on your blog post and then pitch it, for example, as a contributed article, that's like a double win for them then, right? Because they were already going to write it and put it on their website. So then you just take that piece, maybe rework it a little bit, and pitch it as a contributed article. And I have a lot of success with that for clients. And it the leadership, the thought leaders, however you want to say that, love it, because, you know, they go to an industry conference, they'll be like, wow, I'm seeing you everywhere, you know, like, and the and it works. So I mean, I think it's an overlooked, underused strategy.
So, how do you see the landscape of opportunities in this much more complex world that we have now as opposed to 25 years ago?
Right.
Do you obviously there's how so many bloggers now, so many podcasts now, and there's also, you know, this thing about somebody may have a really relevant blog, but they have an audience of 10 people. And I know in the SEO world, they look at like the authority of a website. And if it's 100, like Google or close to it, yes, gold. And you assume there's a big audience. And if it's 10, oh, that's brand new, there's not much. So it creates a hierarchy of opportunities to get press. How do you see the landscape of opportunities to get exposure that way?
Well, there are a couple of thoughts on that question. So one is, I think anything, if you're starting out and haven't done a lot of PR, anything that you can take advantage of, you should leverage. Because what happens sometimes is companies have a very inflated idea of, how what they deserve. For example, maybe they think they need to be in the Wall Street Journal tomorrow, but they've never ever done any PR. I'm not saying you can't pitch the Wall Street Journal from day one. However, if you have an opportunity with a local publication, like a local business journal or something like that, that can be a great place to start. And, if your company is located in a town, I'm in Columbus, Ohio, for example, so I know, the reporters at the business journal, that can be a pretty, that's a, I'm not going to say it's easy, but it's lower hanging fruit than just pitching, somebody at the Wall Street Journal from day one and expecting something to land, right? So I think they need to take their ego out of it and just say, wow, we got a, there's an article out there about us now. And somebody, another journalist might see the article, and certainly customers are going to see it. And the more they amplify it, the more opportunities for people to see it. And you never know who's going to find it or come across it. So I think you need to look at it like that. And then what was the other thing I was thinking about that? Oh, trade journals. I mentioned that before. I
Yes.
really think industry publications, trade journals, vertical media outlets, whatever you want to call it. So, in my world, I work a lot, of course, with B2B clients. I work a lot in technology. I work a lot in manufacturing, for two examples. And so in those industries, then there are obviously just a lot of options to pitch trade publications. So then it's just taking the time to do the research. A lot of times clients might know where they want to be seen, but sometimes they don't give you anything to go on. Like, well, we don't know. What do you think? So then I'll do the research. And of course, I would do research regardless of whether they told me where they wanted to be. I would put those
Sure.
outlets on the list, but then I would also go and add more things to it. So, and I usually just go to the websites to do the research on publications. I think that's the best, most accurate, up-to-date information, or social media sometimes. If you're LinkedIn's being used more now for media relations than ever, because I think, Twitter slash X has really, that's where journalists have spent a lot of time, but I don't know that that's going to be the same moving forward. Some of them spend a lot of time on Instagram. So, I mean, in business, in B2B, you're probably going to look at LinkedIn or X to find your journalists. And they will update their profiles there, and that's much more up to date than, say, a media database, for example.
That makes sense. And I saw your expression that somebody just listening to the podcast didn't notice when you mentioned Twitter X. I have the same response to it. And it's like, I like Elon Musk. I think he's doing a lot of good and he has a good heart. But why did you name it X? That's the most ambiguous phrase in the English language. How much more nonspecific can you get? It's literally the term we use for an unknown variable. But maybe that's genius on the other side because it gets people having conversations like this, which gets them talking about it. Who knows?
Yeah, I still call it Twitter, but I know, like, formally now it's not called that anymore. So, but
Yeah.
I'm still on Twitter because the reporters are there, they're there sometimes, and I need to be over there to do my work. So, yeah.
Yeah, and that's where I saw you initially and saw the work you're doing. It's like, oh, this would be a perfect fit for the podcast. Because I've been wanting to talk to a PR person who knows the landscape
Yeah.
and share that because it's so important to thought leadership. Yeah, and what we do is we, and the podcast is about this too, called Strategic Thought Leadership, is help leaders who are potential thought leaders but haven't really organized their thinking well enough to form models that can lead an industry or a niche to new helpful thinking, or lead customers to get more value out of what they do with their unique take on it. So it ends up creating a perspective that people want to consume because it's empowering. But then how do you amplify that and get it in front of enough eyeballs? Because you still, if you have you'd be the best kept secret on the internet if you have the world's greatest thinking about your industry and nobody else knows about it.
Yes. Absolutely true.
So it brings that amplification. So usually when we wrap this up, I ask two kinds of questions. The first is, what are the top three things that you would recommend a listener do to further themselves in thought leadership using PR based on your background and knowledge?
Okay.
And second, if somebody's listening to this and thinking, wow, I either need to A, talk to Michelle about working with us, or B, buy her book, how would they find you in the book? And of course, I'm going to link to all this on the episode page as well, of course, for the listener.
Sure. Well, the top three things, and I alluded to this earlier, but I think one is, if you've never done PR, the magic is really in the pitching process. It's not, yes, there are wire services. Yes, there are shortcuts, but you don't want to like pay to appear in a publication or pay to put your press release on a wire and think that that's PR or in media and that's it. I think that you have to remember that there is something to the actual, you know, researching the reporter or the media outlet, putting together a story or a pitch. I mean, if you have a press release, yes, you can pitch the press release. And then thoughtfully, you know, contacting that reporter, usually via email, that's the preferred method, and sending them the pitch and then following up if you don't hear back. And then when I say follow up, I don't mean tomorrow. I mean, give it, you know, a week or so before you follow up. And then also understanding that you can build momentum by starting out based on the local media, based on a trade publication, based on a podcast appearance, however, whatever you think is going to be the best fit for what you have to offer. And again, if you don't know that, maybe you do need just a little like a strategy session or some coaching or some assistance in some way to figure out the best path. Because I think the other thing that people do is kind of it's like throwing spaghetti at the wall. They're just like, okay, well, you know, I pitched this podcast, didn't hear back. I sent this reporter a pitch and didn't hear back. So this isn't working. Well, and it, you know, they might need to tweak their process or think through it a little bit differently. And again, if it's not your world, you might not think of all the possibilities or options or, you know, how you could tweak what you're sending them to maybe get their attention. Maybe you could add visuals. Maybe you could add a customer testimonial. You know, I'm just, you know, putting that out there. But anyway, so that's, I guess that's, I don't know if that's three things. And then just try to keep an eye on like, what do you have? I keep a story bank for clients. So like, what do you have to put in the idea, the story bank, you know, like, so, you know, we have a product announcement coming up in 3 months, but between now and then, what do we have? Can we pitch some thought leadership contributed article type earned media pieces? Are they adding someone to the team? Could we maybe, you know, pitch that to the trade journals, you know, new executive or somebody like that. Maybe we could talk about something they're doing locally in their community. One of my clients works with a local technical college and they, you know, bring in interns and things like that. So it's just kind of constantly keeping an eye out for things that might be newsworthy. That doesn't mean that they will all be newsworthy, but if you had someone to discuss it with, like a PR consultant, they would be able to kind of advise you and talk through it. And, you know, when I work with a client, I like to have a meeting every month and we talk through it and we keep kind of a rolling calendar in the story bank and all those things. So things are always in motion. It's not like we're just reacting to media inquiries that come in or we're just sending out a press release every once in a while. We're constantly kind of looking for things to pitch.
That makes perfect sense. And then how will someone find you or find your book if they're listening to this and wondering how to learn more about what you do?
Well, the book, which is on the wall, is of course available anywhere you would buy a book. So Amazon, Barnes & Noble, bookshop.org. It's available in some smaller sellers as well. I have a page on my website, which is just michellegarrett.com. It's B2B PR book. There's a page on my website that talks all about the book, where you can buy it, testimonials about people that have read it. And I'm really pleased that it's, you know, getting a really positive reception. I've got a 5-star reviews, and it did debut number one in its category in Amazon. And so that was
awesome.
Exciting. So
fantastic. And your website is michellegarrett.com. Michelle with two L's, Garrett with two R's and two T's for the listener.
That's right.
Of course, to the listener, I'm going to link to all of this and with along with a short story about this interview and about Michelle on thoughtleadershipstudio.com on the episode page. So if you're listening on an app, the link is in the episode description. Michelle, it has been a great pleasure.
Thank you so much, Chris. It was my pleasure as well. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thought Leadership Studio.
Thanks again for listening to Thought Leadership Studio. I'm your host, Chris McNeil, strategic thought leadership coach and consultant, and this has been episode 76, Mastering B2B PR with Michelle Garrett, where we discuss subjects such as understanding the importance of PR in marketing, why PR isn't as simple as sending a press release, the power of PR in enhancing company credibility, and the evolution of PR from fax machines to digital era, as well as, all important to this podcast, the importance of thought leadership in PR success. So if you're listening to this on an app, make sure you click the link in the episode description to go to the episode page where we have a curated transcript, links to Michelle's resources, and also free resources like The Marketer's Guide to Strategic Thought Leadership, a free instant PDF download to help you with the building blocks of your own thought leadership. Appreciate you listening to Thought Leadership Studio. I'm Chris McNeil. I look forward to seeing you on the next episode.
Thought Leadership Studio.